702. Health and wellness.
It's 23 minutes before 12 o'clock. This health and wellness feature is brought to you by BestMed, South Africa's largest self-administered medical scheme. SMS your name to 44425 for a quote. BestMed, personally yours. Standard rates and T's and C's apply. So on our health and wellness feature this morning, we are talking about asthma, right? Asthma care and treatment in children and adults. And if you have this condition, I would like you to call in and share with us your experience. How are you managing it? Because asthma prevalence is increasing worldwide. And in fact, surveys indicate that most patients in developed and developing countries, including South Africa, do not receive optimal care and are therefore not well controlled. So I want us to look at how we can treat asthma, not just in children, but in adults as well. I want us to look at the risk factors as well, and we'll also ask if it's even possible to prevent it. And we've got Dr. Omolemo Kitchen, who is a pulmonologist, who joins us on the line. Dr. Kitchen, thank you so much for making time. Hi.
Hi, Clement. Thanks for inviting me to your show.
And I'll be taking your calls on 011-883-0702. You can send WhatsApp voice notes if you want to share your experiences with us on 072-702-1702. And if you've got questions as well, we'll take those and ask the doctor to respond to them. Let's start with the difference, Dr. Kitchen, the difference between childhood asthma and adult asthma. How different are they?
So childhood asthma and adult asthma has actually a lot of similarities. Being that obviously the difference being the age, but the way they present similarly, and the underlying mechanism of the disease is similar, that it actually is inflammation of the lungs with twitchy airways. So what, just explained in simple language, asthma occurs in the breathing pipes, the pipes that let air into the lungs. And then when the walls of the breathing pipes are swollen and thickened and they've got mucus, and then the outer muscle layer of the airway contracts, then you get the symptoms of coughing wheeze. One of the major differences with children and adult asthma is that that more children tend to be picked up than adults, like it affects more children than adults. But mainly, I think it's because when your child is sick, you're going to take your child to the doctor. And then when you're sick, you're going to think about it before you go to the doctor. And I see that with my patients, because I'm a pediatric pulmonologist, that I pick up parents with disease when they bring their kids to their rooms. But the other thing that's different between adults and children is that children tend to be, the trigger factors tend to be more respiratory viral infections in younger children, but in adults can either be due to smoke, cigarette smoke, or work-related or pollens. So, but both children and adults can have pollen as a trigger for the disease. Children don't smoke,
I see.
So this smoking is not really a trigger factor for the children.
Okay. And what about the other environmental risk factors?
Well, the other environmental risk factors depend on exposure. So the important ones are animals, especially cats and dogs that people keep at home. It's the dander and the licking. And you know, with kids, they love their pets. They'll pet them, then they'll lick them, they'll kiss them, and they'll do everything. And the saliva has got a protein that actually will can make the exacerbation, and the dander can cause exacerbation. The other thing at home is house dust mites. Now, the problem with house dust mites is that people don't really get it because they can't see it. So it's just small insects that you find in bedding, carpets, and curtains. And the interesting thing about house dust mites is that it survives because it survives on eating a dead skin. So we shed skin all the time. So we've got lots of food for the house dust mites. And cockroaches, obviously, but nobody believes there were cockroaches at their house. And cockroaches, obviously, we're responsible for that. that we don't put things in nicely sealed containers. And obviously cockroaches go down. I always tell my patients, when you have a sink, you have to close the tap, the prop. You have to put your prop in because we've got a water trap. And this water trap, the cockroaches go and drink the water from the trap. And so those are some of the, and obviously pollen as an environmental factor. Now, I want to just clarify pollen here quickly here. That pollen can be like grass pollen, which everybody has got grass at home. And the grass pollen season, in, especially in the high fields, is like 10 out of 12 months. So it's throughout the year. Now, what happens is that during spring, then people get worse. And they say, no, I've got no allergies. My allergies get worse and my asthma gets worse when it's spring. And they actually don't realize that it's actually tree pollen allergy because the trees start blooming. So that's a different, it's similar, it's still pollen, but there's more tree pollen allergy in spring than there is in during the year. But throughout the year, you've got grass pollen allergy as one of the triggers.
Yes.
You must know the house dust mite is a house dust mite, and dust is a different trigger as well. So you can test for house dust mites, but you can't do an allergy testing for dust because the dust is an irritant, but it can also precipitate the asthma.
Yeah. So when someone experiences an asthma attack, what's the best way to respond? So what's the first thing they should be doing?
Whoa. So the best thing they should be doing is actually rushing the nearest health center if they don't have asthma pumps with them. So usually, if they experience an asthma attack for the first time, they should rush to the nearest health center because they will not have asthma pumps. But if they have an asthma pump at home, then there are two types of pumps. There's a controller pump, the one that you use every day, and there's a reliever, which you call the rescue pump. That's the one that you use when you've got an asthma attack or when you're coughing too much. But if you use that too often and you're getting relief, you need to go to your healthcare center. People like using nebulizers.
Yeah.
I don't like nebulizers, home nebulizers.
Yeah. And then there are some parents who often, when they've got children that have asthma, they are concerned about them taking part in sports because they're just worried that that may exacerbate the condition. Is it advisable that, you know, children with asthma must be allowed to be involved in sport, or does it depend on how hectic and which sport that is?
So the answer is yes, yes, and yes. Asthmatic kids must participate in sports. I tell patients, let your kids participate in sports. If they get worse with participating in sports, that's a doctor's problem or that's a nurse's problem. So what I'm trying to say to them is that if you take your asthma pump and you use it regularly, you can participate in any sport. There are a lot of sports person that are asthmatic and they do sports at the highest level. So the notion that my child has got asthma, she cannot do soccer, she cannot do whatever, is actually wrong. Kids must be allowed to do sports, and then but they must take their pump and they'll do just right.
So how do you manage it? How do you keep it under control? Whether we're talking about you just ensuring that you know, you do the necessary exercises, or whether we talk about medication and you taking it as prescribed, what's the best way to manage this condition?
I think one of the most important things, Clement, about asthma and managing asthma is that you have to understand that asthma is a chronic condition. It's not an acute condition. When people have an acute asthma attack, it means they are not on their treatment. So you have to be on treatment so that you must not get an acute asthma attack. So you have to take your controller medicines. Your controller medicines are the pumps, they are steroid pumps that actually clean the airway to keep it under control. Therefore, you don't have issues with the walls of the airway swelling and causing an asthma attack. So you have to take your asthma pumps, which are very easy to take. You take it in the morning and in the evening. And if your asthma is well controlled, sometimes the doctor, the clinic nurse, can reduce the duration to once at night or once a day. But you have to take your asthma. That's the only way to control your asthma. So the what I've seen a lot of people do, Clement, is that they use the bronchodilator as an asthma pump. That's not an asthma pump. That's a rescue pump. Mm-hmm. You're not treating your asthma. You're just opening your airway. But you're just not helping yourself. I'll give you an example of a different disease. If you've got a headache and your headache is caused by hypertension, taking paracetamol just takes the headache away. It doesn't take the hypertension away. So you have to control your hypertension such that your headache must not get a headache from hypertension. So you have to take your asthma controller medication to keep your airway clean, and you have to take it every day, and only after you visit the doctor or the clinic system can then modify how you take the treatment. It's an ongoing treatment.
Okay. I want to take some calls now from our listeners. If you've got questions or you want to share some experiences with us, you can give us a call. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note.
702
Health and Wellness.
It's nine minutes before 12 o'clock. It's our health and wellness feature. And today we are discussing asthma care and treatment in children and adults. I want to take your calls now. If you've got questions for Dr. Omoluemo Kitchen Lerato, you are in Midrand. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. I just have a quick question for the doc. So, doc, I have a four-year-old and she's highly allergic to pollen and grass. So she's on immunotherapy for that allergy, which is it's a little spray they put under the tongue to desensitize her and get her used to the pollen. And then she's additionally on chronic medication, which includes the pump, Monty A, and a whole lot of others, which includes Reponase and stuff. So my question, I guess, what is the probability of her outgrowing this, or is this for me going to be like a long road? Because, I mean, she's highly medicated, and it's not a nice thing to see for a four-year-old. Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, Lerato, thank you for that question. So, Dr. Kitchen?
Yeah, so quick way of answering the question is that likely, yes, that's going to be on it for long, but if the technique is correct, and if the technique is correct and the medication is used properly, then it can get control. So the idea of the immunotherapy that she explained is to try and sensitize the body such that when the child gets to a certain level, the grass that the baby child is exposed to the body does not recognize it as foreign. The problem of immunotherapy is that it works. It usually works, but it's not 100% proof. So hopefully after a certain period of time with immunotherapy, when there's sensitization, then the amount of medication will come down, but there must be adherence. And when the child is a bit older, they'll be able to do a lung function test on the child to try and see how to properly determine the asthma control. So there is hope that the mommy has to be a little bit more patient until we get to a certain stage. But compliance is important, and regular checkup is more important.
Can I have a follow-up question?
Yes, sorry.
Yes, sure. Yes. So, Doc, does it mean that if we get off, or eventually when we get off the immunotherapy, we will still continue on, the pump and the Mont A, because without those, we don't sleep?
Yeah. So the asthma, it's going to be a long journey. So usually when you've got an allergen identified as a trigger factor for asthma, the chances are that you're definitely going to be a chronic asthma. So sometimes asthma can get better, a little bit better when you get older. That's why I say you're going to have to be a bit more patient. So you cannot come off treatment without the directive of obviously the doctor, the clinic nurse, for the child. But one of the most important things is obviously adherence, that using the medication properly and checking the technique. One of the biggest issues, Clement, with asthma is poor technique. And poor technique results in poor asthma control.
Yeah, Lerato, thank you for calling and good luck and with your daughter. Zandile, you're in Johannesburg. Hi.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Sharp. So go ahead.
I just want to find out from the doctor. I'm asthmatic, born asthmatic, grew up asthmatic. So in 2021, I had COVID. I was hospitalized. And after the COVID, like 3-4 months later, my asthma got worse. So I went to the GP and he prescribed the Dulera pump that I use in the morning and in the evening. So now my question is, I've been traveling around Pretoria, Joburg. I can't find the Dulera. Apparently the supply is out of stock. What do I use now? Because I struggle to sleep. I get attacks if I don't use the Dulera, especially in the evening.
Okay.
All right. So, Dr. Kitchen?
So, yeah, the quick answer to that is that asthma pumps differ. So the main ingredient of asthma pump is similar, and it's produced by different companies. My quick answer to that, go back to the doctor and tell them that you cannot find the prescribed
Dulera.
Dulera. Can you give you an alternative pump that is in a similar group that will work as effectively? So
okay, because the Dulera is a preventer. For attacks, I use the Astavent. But for prevention, I use the Dulera.
Yes, there are other drugs in the same group of category of asthma pumps like the Dulera, and the doctor will be able to substitute that for you.
All right, thank you so much, doctor.
All right, Zandile, good luck. Zandile in Joburg. Doctor, thank you so much for making time. We're out of time, but I really appreciate you helping us understand more how those that have this condition, they can treat it. That's Dr. Umolemo Kitchen.